I'm Chanel Scott, the queen of relationship talk.
I'm Josh Powell, two-time NBA champion.
I've journeyed from trauma to healing.
From the NBA to family, I've learned what really matters.
We've come together to unlock the secrets of successful relationships.
One conversation at a time.
One conversation at a time.
Welcome to Relationships Matter. I'm Chanel Scott.
And I am Josh Powell. Back.
We are back, guys. So we have an amazing show set up for you all. We have the amazing singer Sammy with us today.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having
me. We're so excited to have you. And you guys know him, the infamous song, I Like It. We was just playing it.
Yeah.
I love that song.
1999 vibes.
1999. So, Sammy, we just going to get right into it because, you know, we talk about relationships on this show, right?
Okay.
We get all in your business, you know, but you can share as much as you want to share
sure.
or as much as you don't want to share.
For sure.
So my first question to you. Is how important is it to be in a relationship? Like, what are your thoughts around relationship, romantic relationship?
Yeah, I think for me personally, it's always just been instilled in me to be a family man.
Okay.
That's my happy ending. I've lived a solo, single, superstar, rock star lifestyle. But personally, if I'm being honest with my spirit, I was always empty.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't care how much money, fame you garner if you don't have anybody to share it with. And now being a new father, also having okay. offspring and legacy to continue. Thank you. Yeah, we got a beautiful little girl. So, you know, this is the dream. It's just bigger than any musical accolade that I've achieved. To have a family of my own and prayerfully lead the right way has always been my goal.
I'm glad you said that because a lot of people, they see your success, right, on the public stage. And they always think, well, wow, I'd like to be in that place.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't care how successful or how much I've achieved in life. It's like when you get home after you've done this amazing show.
For sure.
You know, you're like, I'm in this room. I'm in this house by myself with no one to share, no one to kind of talk about what happened, you know, that day or, you know, whatever, a performance or for me, a show. Just talk about the ups and the downs. I would get on Facebook Live just to take away that void. Talk about that prior to you getting into, we're going to get to the relationship part, but just talk about how you navigated that space when you were, you know, on the public stage and then.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't get on Facebook Live or IG Live and talk about my life because I'm already transparent and vulnerable, right? I've been living in the public eye to some degree since I was 12 years old. I'm 36 now. So things that I can keep sacred, such as my child, the intimacies and safe spaces that me and my girl share, I don't put that online. So my outlet was just like always God and therapy, honestly. I'm an advocate for going to therapy, talking about my imperfections, talking about childhood traumas, talking about my shortcomings as a man. I think that's a healthy outlet. To me, when you give people access to something as intimate as your personal life, you welcome all kinds of energy, and all the energies aren't positive. So for me, God, of course, through prayer, and then I've been taking therapy seriously for the last 4 years of my life, which has been a beautiful instrument for me to help me analyze myself, to chisel away at myself, and ultimately journey on to the man I'm trying to become.
What are some of the things that you've discovered about yourself, you know what I mean,
through
that journey?
Yeah. Honestly, it's so funny. So my mom and father divorced when I was like 9. So I would only see my dad like on holidays or summer breaks, things of that nature. So I think naturally I thought I had daddy issues. I thought my shortcomings came from, well, my dad wasn't there every day.
Right.
But we have a beautiful relationship, but, you know, just not having a dad in the home. No one ever taught me how to tie a tie, change a tire, be a handyman. I'm actually like lacking in that point of I got to pay somebody to do all that kind of stuff. But I learned that I had mommy issues because my mom was very like tough love. Mm-hmm. So you can clean the house and make A's and B's and do well in the basketball game. But if you left one spoon, that's what she'll talk about. Like, why did you leave that one spoon in the sink? And I think as I got older, I realized I needed validation from women. So a lot of my shortcomings in past relationships came from, well, if my girl's not validating me, then this girl on the side will.
Because that's what I was going to ask you. How did that manifest in your relationships?
Yeah,
that showed up
tremendously. And there's, to me, there's a multitude of ways of infidelity. You don't have to physically be involved. You know what I'm saying? I think thoughts become things and things provoke action. So you could be mentally committing infidelity or from a conversation standpoint, using someone else as an outlet. instead of going to your person. Mm-hmm. So I started realizing that when I didn't feel validated by my person, mm-hmm. that's when I would stray. You understand what I'm saying? And I think the need for validation from a woman derived from me wanting to make my mom proud. I needed my mom to say it. I didn't need my dad to say it. I didn't need my brother and sister to say it. Although I care mm-hmm. that my family, you know, is proud of my the things that I've achieved. If Angela didn't say it, that mattered to me the most. So I learned that through therapy. I just needed my mom, you know what I'm saying, to say. And I appreciate the tough love because the world is tough. But I think you have to diversify how you love certain people, certain children. You can't love me the same way you teach my little brother or love on him or love on my sister who's a middle child. So, yeah, therapy taught me that my need for a woman to solidify me, to cement me, came from me wanting that from my mom.
Have you been able to find peace with that, or is there still a part of you that still kind of searches for that validation still to this day at 36?
You know what? Still something that, honestly, I think when you let your guard down and you think you killed, quote unquote, that demon is when that demon can surface again. So I always just am mindful that I have that trigger inside of me. Mm-hmm. I think every day you fight yourself, or especially the negative sides that you're trying to kill. Mm-hmm. But I'm much better now and alert, and I have boundaries now, you know what I'm saying, that I abide by to not let that into my new relationship.
When you were single, was there one particular moment that transpired that made you realize, like, this is not going to, like, I don't care what my accomplishments are, mm-hmm. like, this is not going to fulfill me, like, I need more? Was there, like, a particular moment that you came to the realization
just
of that?
Living a life of redundancy, searching for the same thing, like searching for your person, mm-hmm. But dating multiple people and still feeling empty. It's like, how do I have a roster of 5 girls, all different personalities, and I still feel nothing?
What was that person then that you were searching for?
I mean, I was young, you know what I'm saying? When I say young, I mean just like new to being free to do so, to date multiple people. So I think sometimes you do have to lose yourself to find yourself. Or lose yourself to realize, you know, I don't like this path. And for me, the challenge is like just being true to my spirit, saying, Sam, if you for some reason just like to be with one person, although it's not natural, although I can juggle a few women at the same time, that's just not who I want to be.
You said not natural.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's natural for a man to, I think that's a choice. I think it comes with maturity. I think it comes with trial and error. Me personally, I only could talk about me. I think I could easily have 3 different women and make all of them happy simultaneously.
You think you can do that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? one woman is enough, clearly. But that's not who I just desire to be. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm giving myself a cop-out. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that, even from a spiritual standpoint. I love God. I'm a Christian man. So I'm trying to do it by the book. You know what I mean? Or even, I've had a child now out of wedlock, so now I'm trying to get the house in order, get the ring, you know what I mean? So I've always been a spiritual dude, and I can go against the grain for only but so much before God punishes me and makes me realize that doing it my way
would
never work. Were you raised to have that spiritual connection, or is that something
my mom
you
and
found
dad,
later?
Okay. My mom and dad, I've been a church boy. My first time ever singing was in church. Lake Ida Church of Christ, we never even had instruments. Your voice was your instrument. Everybody find a note and sing a hymn. So I've always, that's the best thing my father and my mother could ever do, was implement the importance of prayer and having a spiritual connection, because especially in my line of work, it's a dark, 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 dark world. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't know who the light is, it'll ruin you.
So how do you manage that, having that desire, right, but wanting to do it the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that look like practically?
Well, when we get back, my boy's going to answer that question. Relationships matter. Relationships matter.
Relationships matter. Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So before we went to break, we were talking to Sammy, the singer, guys, and I wanted to ask you, how do you manage, because you're a Christian, right?
You
believe and love God. How do you manage being single and the dating the multiple women? Like, how do you navigate through that? How do you exercise discipline, I want to say?
I don't think dating multiple people isn't practicing, to me, the spiritual way to do it.
Okay, so y'all heard that. For the record, can you say that one more time,
sir? Say dating multiple people isn't practicing the spiritual journey correctly.
Okay.
So let me be honest. How do I manage this? First, I give myself grace because clearly I've done it Sammy's way.
Yes.
And we can try to formulate the Bible to fit us, you know what I'm saying? Which is ultimately still sinning, which is ultimately still incorrect. You can't be lukewarm. So now there have been journeys where I've been abstinent and didn't date. Mm-hmm. That to me is the right way to handle single, being single. I think practicing discipline, self-control, boundaries with yourself first, mm-hmm. before trying to implement those characteristic traits with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. reason why I've always felt that relationships, honestly, is because it takes two to be spiritually aligned at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
So, I don't think me ever dating multiple people at one time was the spiritual, godly, kingdom way to do it. That's just us remixing it and doing what we wanted to do, or do what our flesh is influencing us to do.
Right.
Yeah. So giving yourself grace, understanding that we are human.
Yes.
I've made a plethora of mistakes, you know what I'm saying? And karma has spent the block in a tremendous, fierce way.
Talk about that.
But he said something that was powerful too. Like,
what?
as a man, uh-huh. practicing abstinence. You know, yes. what I'm saying? Like, can you expound on that? Because I do think that, first of all, there's a narrative about men that we don't have de-discipline.
Yeah.
But what were some of the things that you discovered about? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I try to be kind with my words, you feel me? But what are some of the things that you discovered about yourself during those times? Because that's tremendous growth when you're able to do.
One thing that I discovered is that I had an addiction to sex.
Okay.
You'll try to say, okay, I'm not going to have sex. So then you'll start maybe indulging into pornography and make yourself feel like that's right because you're not physically laying down with somebody. I went through these things and now I'm like turning to, and then if you can't go away with something, you're addicted to it. And it's as simple as really see if you can go 5 days without your phone and see how you feel. See, do you even know how to operate without opening up the Instagram apps? Like, we are all addicted to a lot of things, but we don't test ourselves to see. You know what I mean? So, again, in Christianity, we practice things called fasting. So I take away things that I know will challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? I'm not going to take away like drinking. I don't have to drink every day. I like to drink. I enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? But I don't overindulge to get drunk to where I'm not in my right mind. That's just what I don't like to do. I've done that before. It's stupid. Make bad decisions. But I'm going to take away something that really, really I enjoy.
Outside of sex, what would be two more things? One or two more things that you...
Honestly, smoking hookah. I'm not a weed smoker or nothing like that, but I have noticed tremendously that if I'm stressed or I need to decompress or I want to just think, you know what I'm saying, and like log out, I'll go to a hookah lounge for an hour and just smoke and be with myself. But it wasn't until I was trying to not do that as an outlet, I was like, damn, I really am slightly addicted to that. And when you think about it, you know, I never did cigarettes, but this could be worse than cigarettes, and it has nicotine in it. So there is something in some everything that you can be drawn to. So I would say sex at one point in my life, smoking, that's pretty much it. Other than that, like everything else, I can kind of go cold turkey.
So with the sex,
uh-huh.
how did you turn away from it? How did you turn your plate down? Like,
unfortunately, just as beautiful as sex has been in my life, it's been equally as painful. I've done a lot of things, and I've ultimately, sometimes you don't know how people feel about you, first and foremost. You might think, yeah, y'all just casually dating, but sex a certain kind of way changes the feelings and the emotions and the love. And imagine making someone fall in love and you never had any intentions on catching them. And my mama always told me, like, there's nothing like a woman scorned. So, like, sexually, not knowing it, just being passionate, being a lover boy, you open up feelings and emotions that you never had any intentions on catering to. And I've just learned that, like, in, like, man, I'm telling you, when I went public and I announced that me and my girl was with child, women from my past, like, that thought maybe they would be that person, or we've talked about children, or I've been through an abortion experience. Those things resurface, you know what I'm saying? Like, me not thinking that they're even on that type of time still. Years have passed by. They have their situation. They probably had kids of their own. But for some reason, when mine came, it stung certain people. And I was like, damn, I didn't even know, like.
So did they, like, they call, text, or did they try to do something public, or?
Yeah, a whole lot of stuff was going on. Yeah. And I knew my fans would just be like fake heartbroken. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, they're happy for me. But nah, women that I had dealings with really took it to heart, and I had to take my accountability, although I was unaware, because so much, you know, sometimes you say time heals all, not if you don't address
right
what hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am thinking, we good, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Whole time they're like hurt and never just brought it to my attention and needed a trigger, aka that, mm-hmm. to.
Oh, so it was like silent and.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, because of that,
yeah.
So how did you deal with that? Did you just dismiss it, or did you address it, or?
No, I didn't address it unless it came to me directly, which it didn't. I saw what I saw, and I let it be. You know what I'm saying? As a celebrity or a public figure, I think one, we make mistakes addressing things that we give it life. There's power in the tongue, right?
Yeah.
I'm accessible. My number's the same. So if there's a personal, private conversation that anyone wanted to have with me, open to that. But you'll never see me addressing rumors, lies, truths on social media. You know what I'm saying? I follow something called the 72-hour rule. I learned from Drake. I heard him in an interview say, like, when rumors come out, the first day you feel like you want to defend yourself and go on live and take up for yourself and show receipts. Mm-hmm. Second day, it doesn't sting so bad. And by the third day, somebody done did something else where the world doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
So I practiced that, and that's how I handled that adversity.
So question, like, in those times, because being a family man, and I know you got your woman, you got your kids, but how does your lady kind of deal with some of the things that you have to deal with? You know what I mean? Because I know that could be hard navigating in that space.
Yeah, she's tough, first and foremost, and that's why she's also very, very protective, you know absolutely. What I'm saying, of me, which I appreciate. And we're still learning each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first key is me being honest about what may come, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of like prep her, like, hey, you know, like, I've been this little bachelor guy once upon a time, and I've done this, so just want you to know, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's first. And then also just being honorable, you know, like, I wanted her pregnancy to be as peaceful and seamless as possible. That's why we waited till we got past the scary point, from a trimester wise. And then I was like, we need to talk about the pros and cons of going public. I was like, as soon as we go public, it's going to be on the Shade Room. And I promised that was the first blog to post it. You know, in Shade Room, we got a great relationship. I love them because they actually re-sparked my career in a sense back in 2016. But just sitting down and being honest with your person, letting them know, like, via who I am, via how I lived, certain things may come your way. And I think that, you know, I should be first and foremost honest about it. And two, let's pray about it and be mindful that we're not doing it for the public. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to be doing everything from a pure place.
Was she supportive of that? The reason I'm asking is because, you know, I know a lot of times, especially like with people that's in your, you know, with mm-hmm. your status and your career, there are a lot of people who get involved with for the wrong reasons and wrong intentions. But was she supportive of the fact of how you want to move as the leader? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's like, you know, being a great leader is also knowing when to submit. I think men don't understand there's a time where we bow down to our queens. We don't know everything. So with the announcement, that was a compromise. It wasn't necessarily my route. It was something that she felt confident to do, and why hide it, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between also being like secretive and then private. I'm right. more private.
Right.
So my child's been here almost 3 months, but no one has seen her on Instagram because I want my child to be as normal as possible for as long as possible. I've seen celebrities or public figures post their child, and children aren't off limits for some reason. Women, men, they'll do anything for a like and a joke, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be hard for me as a father to not come to my daughter's defense if anybody says something about an innocent baby.
Right.
You know, what I'm saying? It's crazy because it's funny you say that. I remember seeing something with, I think it was Christian Rock, mm-hmm. I guess, was live.
Krishan.
And she, whatever with the baby, you know what I mean? I guess the way the baby looked, like people were going in.
Yeah,
you know what
I've seen
saying?
So Paris Hilton just got like bullied with posting her child. And it's like people, you know, this the internet to me, I don't play that game. I love the internet for servicing my music or whatever product I'm selling or my tours and shows. That's for my fans. But my little child, you know what I'm saying? Nah, she's off limits for quite some time, you know? And, you know, when I feel like I'm strong enough mentally and spiritually to deal with the negative of doing such, maybe. But right now, man, I'm just enjoying that every day in privacy. You know what I'm saying? That's just like how I'm coming.
For sure.
And she, my girl, agrees like that's the best, safest route.
Yeah. Sure. So when we get back, my good brother,
yeah,
I want to talk to you about fatherhood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The joys, the ups, the downs, the beauties, whatever mm-hmm. you want to share, but definitely get your perspective.
Yes, sir.
Relationships matter.
Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So we were having a conversation with Sammy here, and we wanted to spend some time talking about fatherhood.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I just, for me, just kind of starting on that journey, because I know you just recently became, you know,
correct,
a father. Yep. But you're also kind of been already on that, right? Because
yeah, my girl came with a plus one. Correct.
Absolutely.
Correct.
So how has that journey been, stepping into that role and now having your own, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like what does that look like?
It's been beautiful, just loving Elena first, like her first child. She's 7, so I met her around 5, turning 6. It grows you up tremendously, like immediately, because I believe how I love their mother is how they'll perceive the epitome of a real man. You know what I mean? I don't want my girls, I'm a girl dad, so I have 2, you know, I got a 2-month-old and a 7-year-old, you know what I'm saying? And I have to be mindful to be delicate, to be more patient. I always thought I was for some reason gonna get a boy, you know what I'm saying? You want what you want, but God gives you what you need. I needed girls. It's just taught me how to really, really just be even more transparent, even more vulnerable, to be more responsible. You know what I'm saying? Because their lives are contingent upon the decisions that I make, mind, body, spirit, and financially. So it's been beautiful. I can't say that it's easy, you know, because I'm like learning also, especially with the newborn. She's a night owl, you know what I'm saying? So at night, I take the night shift. But I like that too, because we are learning, me and my girl, about each other, our strengths, quote unquote, and the weaknesses in it. Like, she needs her rest at night. I'm more, because of my profession, I'm used to being up 2, 3, 4 in the morning anyway, you know what I'm saying, in the studio or at a club hosting or whatever. So I like that time to get out, make the bottle, change the diaper, vibe with her, get her back sleepy, put her back down. I know daytime, I got to leave for like 3 hours to go to the gym and do my thing. This is time where Tiana steps in. So learning balance. Learning when to step in and take over everything. You know what I'm saying? Clocking out is okay. Giving yourself grace is okay. You know what I'm saying? Because she's changing. My child is changing every day. I'm learning her more and more every day. I'm changing, I'm growing. So just giving yourself that space to, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but maybe tomorrow I'll be better at it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you want to, I know you already said you're showing them by how you love their mother.
Yeah.
But outside of your queen, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you want to instill because of the 36 years that you've lived?
That,
and trying to show them, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, as time goes.
First is God. I'm already praying over them, praying with them. Me and the 7-year-old, we say our prayers together every night. That's like our ritual. And then if I drop her off from the school in the morning, we say words of affirmation. She's pretty. She's beautiful. She's smart enough. She's good enough. She's kind. They need to hear that. And it needs to be second nature. And then they need to believe it. They need to digest it. And it's on us to implement that. And then also learning, like, Elena spent her first 7 years of her life by herself. And then we have this newborn that needs mommy and daddy's full attention. So now we make sure she's super big sister. I mean, she's making bottles too. You know what I'm saying? Or she's going to help with the diapers and letting her know it's no competition. We love you equally. Just knowing to be mindful about that. And then also, again, always returning back to the queen. I can't just be dad and then I'm tired. I still got to date her.
That was my next question.
I still got to date her. Okay. Still got to keep her fun. She already sacrificed her body for 10 months, right? And then postpartum's a real thing. So these are things I'm having to educate myself on to make sure she understands that I love you even more, nothing less. You know what I'm saying? I'm more attracted to you, not turned off at all. These are the things that as the man of the house, every day I'm like constantly trying to make sure I balance out and give enough Sammy time, Papa Sammy time, and boyfriend Sammy time to my girls.
What does the vulnerability look like now with Sammy as, you know, the, you know, not just a man, but in a relationship and as a father? Because I know you just mentioned that your baby girls need to see you be really transparent and vulnerable. So what does that piece look like?
Man, I had a great experience. So I took my family to the cabins, right, in Tennessee for Christmas. And when Elena was unpacking, she put a picture of me and her in her little room in her cabin. Mind you, I'm on a trip. So I was, Nana was like, why did you sneak this and bring it? And she was like, oh, because I never know when Sammy's flying out of town for work. So I didn't even know she was like starting to grasp. Like, I leave a lot.
Yeah.
I'm in L.A. one day, I'm in New York one day, then I'm back for a couple days, you know what I'm saying? So I had to sit with her at 7 and try to get her to understand that, oh, when Sammy leaves, you know, I'm going to make money to support the family. Like, I have to pay for the bills. You like your room? You like your little mermaid thing? That costs money, and Papa got to go fly across the nation to go get it, you know? He's a singer. Like, I had to really break that down. And so she doesn't think I'm just not there. When I miss, she plays basketball. I try to be at every game, every practice. But if I'm missing it, hey, what's the two things I told you to do? Be confident and have fun. Making sure she understands that I care about it. So that's just having those conversations. And I don't know if it's getting there now at 7, but maybe at 10, she'll be like, you know, used to it. Little things like that. I was gone for 4 days on vacation, Cancun. So as soon as I got home yesterday, I just wanted to get back to Journey, you know, because she's 2 months trying to probably figure out where her dad is, you know. And as soon as she saw my face, she smiled. So I'm still starting to already know, like, that's Pops. Just spending that time is love. So that's something that I'm doing, is having those conversations, mostly if I'm not there in the physical. Why? Yeah.
How do you maintain healthy relationship with your career, with being a dad?
Yeah.
How do you keep the spark going in your relationship?
Still learning. But like we just vacayed and had a great time. It was the first time she left the States or like went on any place since she'd been pregnant last year. Yeah. And that was important for her. She needed that time to just unwind, to drink, to lay out by the pool. You know what I'm saying? Being selfless, you know, I got to put her first. You know, I think that men have to, if you've been there through the experience of a pregnancy, even during the birth, watching what they go through, gives you a whole, me personally, a whole new respect and admiration for a woman. So just letting her know that I appreciate her. I understand the sacrifices, even right now, that she makes. You know, I'm here for a couple hours, so she has the kids right now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she has to put the child in the car seat, go get the other one from school, feed them while I do this.
Right.
So when I get back, it's no, oh, I'm going to stop at the bar real quick and get some drinks and hookah. Nah, I got to get back to the family. You know what I'm saying? So just letting her know I appreciate her and love her very much. And I just understand the commitment and sacrifices that she's made as being now a mother of two.
No, for sure. Yeah. One question I had, and because I know co-parenting, you know what I mean, is like also a heavy dynamic. And When you first, you know, started dating your queen, like, how was her relationship with the father? You know what I'm saying? Because with you now coming in, is it like a situation where everybody's cool? Is he not there?
Everybody's,
you know,
cool.
Okay. That's
respect, you know, and out of respect for that's their life, like the relationship she has with him and the relationship he has with her, that's their thing. I can't speak on, but everybody's cool. You know, I'm not here, me personally, to take over anything. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be more of a help, more of a leader, more of somebody that's going to protect her. You know what I mean? So I don't compete unless I'm playing basketball or Madden.
It's a beautiful thing. That's why I wanted to ask, because there's been some clips where the new gentleman is like, nah, this is my son now.
It's no smoke. You know what I'm saying? I have free reign, as does he, first rights, because he's her biological father.
But I think that's beautiful. We need to hear that for sure.
And she loves us both. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's long as she's happy and taken care of, that's all I care about. I've never been here to step on no man's toes or to make anybody intimidated. I'd rather you do know me. You need to know the guy that's around your daughter. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I don't have no smoke. There's no smoke between he and I. It's all love. He does his part. I do my part.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Man, I love it. Yeah. So when we get back, my beautiful people, we've gotten to know the man. We got to know him in his relationship and as a father. But we're going to get to where it started. The artist. Come on now. When we get back, relationships matter. Relationships matter.
Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So we have Sammy here with us, and so we want to spend some time talking about the artist. So Sammy, talk about how you got started.
Beautiful. 4 years old was the first time I ever sung in front of an audience in church. Mm-hmm. On like first Sundays, people got testimonies or they want to sing something.
Okay.
So I used to see my family do it, because my entire family sings. My mom can blow, my pops, my sister, better voice than me, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Seriously, my sister's phenomenal.
Wow.
But I wanted to get up there, and who's going to tell like a 4-year-old kid no? Mind you, I've never done it. I know this song, I want to sing. So they let me sing. And then I did Troubles Don't Last Always. And from that day forth, they was like, he's really like advanced for 4 years of age to sound like this. And then fast forward 4 years, I'm in like Miss Allen's class. I'll never forget my second grade teacher, because Miss Allen, wherever you at somewhere in this world, had she not have made me sing in front of the classroom, I would have never probably been here. I'm humming during a test, not knowing. And she's like, do you want to share with the class? And I was like, yeah. Right. So I sing in front of the class.
What song?
It was a Christmas carol, because it was around Christmas time. So it was like a Jackson 5 song. Santa Claus is coming to town, something like so I'm doing that. And she sends me to the office. So now I'm thinking I'm in trouble. And my mom don't play. So I'm like, oh, man, it's all bad. You know, I should have sung. So my mom comes, and the principal was like, we heard him sing, and he needs to go to a magnet school for music.
Wow.
So they transferred me from my third grade year through fifth grade to Charles Drew in Miami. I was living in Miami at the time. And that's where the passion started to kind of grow, and I started to hone in on it. So I joined a group that was some guy named Terrell and Phillip. We were called Wonder 3. And we auditioned for the Apollo in New York City. And they called back.
How was that?
Yeah, that's it was so nerve-wracking. Mind you, I'm like a Florida boy. I've never seen New York. I've never seen the world.
Okay.
At this time, I'm like 10 years old. And the other boys were like 15, 16. So they were like, we want the little one for Apollo Kids, and we'll bring the group for amateur night. So I never been solo, never sung by myself for real. So I was like, how do y'all feel about me going by myself? They was like, man, it could change your life. Go. We support it. Did a fundraiser at our school. They raised money for my flights and my mom. We fly to New York. Steve Harvey is the host at the time. Mm-hmm. I do My Sharia Moore by Stevie Wonder. Standing ovation. Get invited back to the finals. Play second that time. And a lady named Joyce Irby, who used to be the lead singer of a group called Climax in the 70s, found my mom and flew to Tampa, where I was chilling with my dad for the summer, had me sing on tape, showed it to Dallas Austin. People don't know this. Originally, I was supposed to be in a group called In Tune with Lloyd. I've known Lloyd since I was 10.
Okay.
But they thought me and Lloyd would clash because he was the star of the group, and then I was a strong vocalist. They was like, nah, Sammy need to stay solo. And took me, and I got a deal with Capitol Records. First song I ever did was I Like It in the studio. First song I ever recorded, and then it went number one at the age of 12. So I'm the youngest to do that since Stevie Wonder, which is crazy because I got discovered doing a Stevie Wonder record. So that's the Sammy story.
What were some of your, or who were some of your inspirations?
Coming up?
Coming up.
Stevie Wonder, I loved him. My dad used to play a lot. His songwriting ability, of course, he's a beautiful musician, but the most talented person I think God has ever put on this earth musically. Like, he's just amazing to me. So, and I had an old soul coming up. So Stevie, Marvin Gaye, Usher Raymond was my Michael Jackson, or still is. Joe, Tank, and I know it's sensitive, but musically I can always say he's a genius, and R. Kelly.
You already know.
I have no problem separating. This personal thing, that's his personal thing. God bless him, praying for him and those affected by it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about musically. I had never heard somebody so diverse. You know what I'm saying? He can do a gospel album and you believe it. He could do bedroom music, which is what's his bread and butter. He can give you the world greatest. I Believe I Can Fly. He writes for people. I just grew up
loving Kales, like,
for real, and his diversity.
Going to my R. Kelly bag was like trapped in the closet.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this dude is a genius. Because I literally, bro, I had to get the joint that had that play, that showed the videos that went with it. Oh, man, I was glued to the TV.
So I can't ever erase his musical genius.
Have you ever met Stevie?
I never met Stevie. I've seen him at my church, though. I go to a church in Cascade, and he was there, and I went crazy, though. Like, I'm in the balcony, like, fanning out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, oh, my God, Steve. Like, he's a real person.
Today, mm-hmm. right, if you had a chance, like, who would be two or three artists you would love to work with?
Yeah. Stevie Wonder.
For sure.
Whether he's singing with me or playing the keys, I'm singing on top of the keys. It's like, that's, I could die and go to heaven. Usher. Usher, man, I met Usher plenty of times. I just saw him at his residency for my birthday last March. Mm-hmm. Got to party, you know, with him at the private party and all that stuff like that. So he's the epitome of longevity. And he's done it so gracefully, you know what I'm saying? Still doing it. Like, to me, we thought Confessions was peak. But look what he's doing now. Like, residencies used to be deemed when you're done, quote unquote, right? And this is the last stop. Is to me, not that his career was dead, but he gave it new life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I care about the next album. Now it's the Super Bowl. So, like, the level of excellence that he's shown, and he's had, you can tell he still has that same passion when he came in the game.
That's hard, bro. So, one of the questions I asked, because, I got to give you a little backstory.
Okay.
So, we're going to flip genres real quick. So for me, like, when we talk about rap and they talk about who's the GOAT, I always say Lil Wayne.
Okay.
Yep. I'll battle anybody on that track. Cut it out, bro. We're not doing no Wayne hate on this stage. You know what I'm saying?
Weezy's
but
fire.
One of the reasons, though, to your point, and basically how you've been able to do it as long as you have, Lil Wayne is literally one of the only artists to start at 11.
Yeah.
And still be relevant.
Yeah.
And still go as strong. Because that transition is hard.
For sure.
So where I'm going with it is, going back, you being one of the few to do it, starting as young as you have been, and transitioning in, like, how difficult, because I don't really think people understand, like, typically if you've been a child star.
You're stuck there.
It's hard, bro. Like, to see people really, like, get over that hump to where now, like, at this age, y'all still come with me?
Yep.
So talk about that, bro. I know that had to be heavy.
It was tough, but God did it for me in such a beautiful way. I didn't know what he was doing at the time. But imagine this. So from 1999 to 2001, that's when I Like It, Crazy Things I Do for Love, From the Bottom to the Top, Hardball. They saw me from 12 to 14. Then I just disappeared, and I went to high school. That's where I was. I was going to high school every day as Sammy the Singer, but a public school, like, no security. And that wasn't normal, by the way. My first 3 years, I hated high school because the kids kind of, like, guys hated me. Girls loved me.
How was that?
So, and then they not understanding, like, hey, we can go home and watch you on 106 and Park, and you sitting in geometry with me. This don't make sense type energy. So me disappearing for those 4 years, it created a mystique and just a question mark, like, what happened to him? You know what I'm saying? Is he going to be this one-hit wonder kind of situation? So when I graduated high school, I liked school, like the people, and I played basketball, and I was homecoming king. Like, I did all that. I got to have a
kind of
kind of normal life. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I knew I wasn't going to college. I was like, I don't, no, I'm a singer. I've seen too much of the world. I'm going to skip that part and I'm going to try to this music thing out again. Mm-hmm. So when I came back at 18, I got my waves now. I look a little different. The girls was going crazy. Like, oh, our first crush is back. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yeah, I'm back. So it was, but by this time you got your Marios, you got your Trey Songz, you got your Chris Browns and Surface. Lloyd is a solo act now. So like I was like wondering if there was space for me because I was the first of the millennials to come out as an R&B singer. Then it was Bow Wow and the Rap Shot. Then there's Lil Corey. Then there's Romeo, et cetera, right? So I didn't know that they missed me like that because I was really out the loop. I was just living a normal life in Orlando.
Right.
So that helped. And then that gives you the Come With Me's, the You Should Be My Girls, the Kiss Me Through the Phone, Sammy, right? And then I go through 7 years of hardship. Not on purpose, just bad business with my ex-manager. He took advantage of, you know, me and my youth and not being business savvy. And now I'm evolving. I'm in the gym like crazy because that's keeping me sane. Started getting tattoos. I got 60 plus maybe now. Had a full beard. Then I had braids. So when I come back, well, not even come back, I go viral on the Shade Room in 2016. That's the third time that they was like, oh, our first crush is back. So they thought I was leaving on purpose.
Gotcha.
No, life was just happening. And God hit me in plain sight, and I was evolving. And I think that's the cheat code for me, is because you technically did not watch me at 4 years of a time, and then 7 years of a time, you didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Although I'm doing mixtapes, I'm dropping, I'm still doing shows here and there, trying to catch my next break. But every time they saw me, I was a different version of myself.
I always wonder how that happened. Like, you think about people that you see on the public stage and then you don't see them. And I always wonder, like, what is life like during those times? Because it's like, how could you just fade out like that?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean it's situational, but it's different strokes for different folks. Mm-hmm. For me, again, my second stint was just business, like bad business. Financial hardships, repossession, like I experienced that like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go through that in private.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't want, this is when Twitter is becoming a thing and all these, now it's Vine and it's ways for fans to really know your skeletons. I didn't want that out.
But even during those times, right? And mm-hmm. you're living life.
Yeah.
And you're out. Mm-hmm. You know.
Now, I'm Sammy every day though. Okay. That never went away. Like okay. People will still be like, oh, Sammy. Oh, like, you know what I mean? But the world as a whole didn't know where I was.
Got you. Okay.
And again, the Shade Room is that platform that connected me back to mm-hmm. my demographic. Mm-hmm. And that one photo, not photo, that video of me singing a record called I'm Him got me a EP deal with Empire. Then it got me an mm-hmm. album deal. Then I'm on tour with Tank. Then I'm headlining my own. Then I'm like left off the first Millennium Tour. Lloyd brings me out on his set. Mm-hmm. 22,000 people go crazy. Mm-hmm. Promoter brings me back on the last two Millennium Tours. I go on tour with Eric Bellinger, and I really haven't looked back and stopped since.
What are some of the things that you're working on currently? You know what I'm saying? Whether it be music,
yeah.
Have you branched out to do other things?
So I've been in the candle business for 2 years. You can go to simplynakedcandleco.com.
Plug it.
Or, yeah, you can go to our shop in downtown Atlanta off Walker Street,
okay.
Right next to City of Ink Tattoo. Make your own candles, but I have my own line. So it's like distributed through that company, black-owned, eco-friendly. And that just fell in my lap. I love candles, and a business partner of mine, Troy Gunn, plugged me, and I was like, man, yeah, I kind of always wanted to do other things outside of music. Music is like on autopilot for me now, so I'm good with that. And then I can't name the franchise, but I am a lounge, hookah, bar, tapas lounge owner. I bought into a franchise 2 years ago, and we just closed on our commercial building in December. We go into construction in March, hopefully a soft launch in April or May. And then I'm going to continue to monopoly this thing and buy some more land and keep flipping it, you know? I never just wanted to be one-dimensional. And going through the bumps and bruises in music, I understand that this can come to a complete halt mm-hmm. in any given moment. So now it's time to diversify my portfolio. You know what's crazy? So I started a project called Insomnia 2 last year, right? It was a sequel, of course, to this mixtape I put out in 2012 that Sammy, real Sammy fans are like, that's a classic. That should have been an album. But I don't want to, at that time, I didn't want to talk about the things that was keeping me up at night. You got to be, it's enough dark energy musically being force fed to people. Mm-hmm. So I went a whole nother way. And my last album was debuted number one on iTunes. And like I peaked at 5, I want to say on Apple Music or something like that. It's called Law. Love Always Wins, because that's the space that I was in. I'm newly in a relationship. At that time, we was expecting. Now we have our bundle of joy. So that space was just all about love and procreation. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I was. And now, man, I want to get back to not the dark music, but just substance filled. Really invite them into my life. Much like this interview, this is probably as personal as I've gotten as far as a relationship standpoint. I don't talk about that. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to let my girl know, like, hey, we were the...
Because I want to ask
you. We were the glue of this interview. You know what I'm saying? But
for sure.
I want to... Because I usually... My music is my outlet for that. If you want to know personally what I'm going through, it's no subliminal post on Instagram. I'm not going on no rants. But my album, I'm going to tell on myself. But I also don't want to die with secrets. Mm-hmm. I want to die empty. So now I'm opening up as a purpose-driven man to be more vulnerable like this in interviews, because you never know who needs something, you know what I'm saying, that you have to say.
Well, when we come back to break, I do want to talk about that space in your life where you connected with, her name is Tiana,
mm-hmm.
right? How did you know that she was the one?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was significant about her that was different from everybody else?
Okay.
But we'll get into that when we come back.
Awesome. Relationships
Welcome back to Relationships Matter. So, Sammy, before we let you go, I want to talk about, how did you know Tiana was the one for you? Like, mm-hmm. during that time navigating just the relational space, what was significant about her that was different from everyone else?
Honestly, I've been in 4 serious relationships, and I say serious because they last kind of long, like 4 years, 3.5. Like, once you kind of be stuck with me for a while. But because I fail, I hate failing, you know what I'm saying, at love. I don't mind making mistakes in other realms of life. That is what it is. But for some reason, I just don't like failing at love. I thought that all my love that I had for somebody was gone. Mm-hmm. And I meet this girl, Tiana, and I liked her the first time we kicked it. Like is... Sounds elementary, but that's a big deal, too, because you can start to love somebody and lose the like for them. So I liked her a lot, you know what I'm saying, already. Like, but I loved her very soon and quicker than I ever loved anybody else. And I always tell her she gave me my spark back. Like, she made me believe in the idea of union. She made me believe in the idea of, oh, Sammy can end up a husband and a father, and get the new house. Like, and these are things that are now happening in real time. You know what I'm saying? About to get the family crib, and I'll be honest, you know what I'm saying? The ring is close, you know? I've already talked to a couple jewelers and things of that nature. Like, and the more we've had ample opportunities to leave each other. And she made me make this promise that I made, but I don't stick to the promise because I made the promise. I stick to the promise because it's just how I feel. No matter how mad I make her or how mad she makes me, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is in real time, I return the love, which is her. And I think that's how the older couples used to do it. Mm. See, it's so easy for us because we have so many quote unquote fake options with this access, you know, to DM anybody, or you think that the grass is greener. I reached a point where I'm just going to keep watering my lawn. Mm. And it's only because of her I'm able
how
to do that.
Her?
She does hair, so she did my locks one day, and of course, men talk to their hair braider or their barber, you know what I'm saying? So we talking about life, and it's taking a while to do my hair, and then, I wasn't ready for the conversation to end when she finished. She wasn't, and we went out and just kicked it before her next appointment, and then, that led to, she used to hoop, she used to play collegiate basketball. She probably gonna kill me for telling her business. She's very,
there we go.
She be running from that,
there
but
we go.
She can hoop, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, I wanna see what your jumper looking like. Mind you, she's like a gorgeous girl, and you know how these there's just like list of cheesecake factories and stuff that these women today don't want to go to.
So I'm
like, yeah, I'm like, our first date gonna be Dave and Buster's because I just want to bust your ass in basketball, you know, see what your shot looking like. And she was hella down. And we went, had some drinks, play ball. And I knew that I loved her. I knew that she was fun. I knew that you can't really judge a book by its cover. If you follow her Instagram, you'll think she's like this uppity IG model. Nah, she dressed like me every day. My hoodies looking, you know, hair slicked back in a bun. I love her child, which is a example of you being a great mother. She's a very sweet, polite, smart kid. So I just started analyzing her, you know what I'm saying? And she resurrected a flame in me that had gotten put out a couple years prior. I just thought I wasn't ever gonna love again. And I was cool with, like, I thought, being this single bachelor dude that I clearly told you leaves me empty at the end of the day.
So there's so many layers to love, and you just, you know, just finished talking about love. But what about love does she remind you of? If you could pick a couple words.
I call it agape. She is nothing that I, this is just my feeling, I'm not going to test it, but there's nothing I can do to her that'll make her stop loving me. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing she could do to me in this very short amount of time. You got to understand, we've only known each other 18 months. So we went fast. 10 months, she was pregnant. 2 months post, right?
So a lot of people, yeah.
I've seen different versions of her in a very short amount
of time.
Like, and I think for me to still love her even more than I did a year and a half ago, that's the person I need to rock it out with. That's the person I need to get my shit together for. And she challenges me. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't allow me to, I'm a smooth talker, some would say, right? I can kind of get my way, you know what I'm saying? Or I can paint the picture for you to let me try it this way. She's not doing that. She's like, you're going to be this righteous man or you're not. You're like, I'm not folding on certain boundaries. I like that. I don't like a woman that I can just trample over. You know what I'm saying? She stands her ground. I stand my ground. And then when it's time for us to really just find that happy place, it might take a long little route, but we find it. And I just know, man, I've seen enough, done enough. Everybody has their flaws. You understand what I'm saying? So we'll quit on a relationship because we think this person, until you see all of that person or you don't just get the representative, you're back in the same cycle.
Speak about that, because I think that that's interesting. I know I have my belief system in regards to that, but there are some people that are like, yo, you need to really get to know a person before you get with them. And then here you are like, listen, I know we went fast, but we're doing it this way. And this is, so what would be your advice, you know what I mean, or your words of wisdom or perspective in regards to people that's in that situation? Because you hear it from both sides.
Yeah, I do believe to protect yourself, because most people are showing you the representative, you know. You don't know a person until you piss them off or tell them no. Don't give them their way. Don't believe in the same thing they believe in. Like, so for me, though, I had no choice. When I say no choice, we, like I said, we went fast, right? And that's just what kept happening. And now we living together. Now we with child, and I got to get the kid from school at 2:40 and then get back. Like, it hasn't stopped. I think it's important for a man to do three things: communicate, choose to be committed, and understand that sacrifices will be made. So communicate, commitment, and sacrifices are the keys to me to keep going. I have to always express myself, whether it's something she wants to hear or not, and vice versa, she has the floor. I have to listen. That's a part of being a good person, that is able to communicate, to receive what's being verbalized. The commitment part is just saying, like, I want it to work. When it's not working, you know, I still want it to work. And then sacrificing, like, understanding that I have to diversify myself and take care of three different personalities under one household. And so that's going to have to make me be more selfless, less Sammy, more them. You know what I mean? And then my gratification comes from seeing everybody happy.
So that's beautiful, man. And, and as we're getting ready to close, so I got one request prior to the last part, but I want I want you to take a second, you know what I mean? Maybe look into that camera, but talk to your 12-year-old self.
Yeah.
Like, what would 36-year-old Sammy tell the 12-year-old Sammy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The whatever comes on your spirit, you know what I mean? Like, you think about that journey.
Yep.
Whether it's been family, whether it's been relationships, whether it's been career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is that's on your spirit, like, what would you want to tell yourself back then from what you know now?
I would tell my younger self that without the fame, without any musical accolades, you were enough. You had nothing to prove. You were already special. You was already chosen and called on by God, uniquely made. You never needed validation from outsources. You just needed to keep growing. And most importantly, I did a lot of forward thinking as a child. So I think it's really, really imperative to embrace the process. The journey is the destination. There's no end until, you know, God calls you home. So just knowing that you didn't have to ever be famous to be special and to be significant and to feel validated. You could have just went a normal route and would have been just as impactful and amazing. Yeah.
Well, I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really felt that.
Yeah, and that's what I would tell my the little boy in me. Yeah.
That's good, man. I think for me, it's also important to display some healthy masculinity. You know what I'm saying? But you know, in the time that we've, you know, because I know throughout the years, Luda days and all, like, you know, we've always seen each other in passing, but just getting a chance to kind of build with you and grow, man. But I just want to tell you from myself, brother,
yes, sir.
I love you, dog.
I love you,
I'm
too.
I'm really, really, really proud of you.
Thank you,
brother. Because I know to go from, you know, the man, the artist, to the this, to that, and all of this right now, brother, I just want to say, man, it's really beautiful. Like,
thank
everything
you.
That you said within this hour.
Thank you.
Truly amazing, man, how you came and just gave us you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You know, which I felt it was important. Like, I know a lot of times you get into space, people ask the usual, the career, the this, the that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we wanted to just really go heavy on you.
Yep.
Because people forget the human.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what's important, man. So I just wanted to tell you personally, man, that I appreciate you.
Likewise.
You know what I'm saying? You've been an inspiration to me, and I've learned a lot sitting here.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot in other conversations that we've been able to have.
Yes, sir.
And I just pray that, you know, the Creator continues to bless you, cover you, you know, give you all the things that you want and you're looking for, that it covers your wife, your family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hopefully we get an invite.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put that on here. You feel me?
Yeah,
but
yeah, for
you
sure.
know, just yeah. because just being there to support, man, is just people that wanna see you win.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And thanks for having
giving us a part, you know what I mean, to you, man. And you're always welcome, bro. Your family, you can come
thank
at
you.
Any time, man. We love you, dog. We appreciate you. Relationships matter. I'm going to be next up. He going to have a remix. I'm telling you, I'm coming with these bars. But Relationships Matter, the podcast, man. We'll see y'all. That's it. It's a wrap.
God bless.
Relationships matter.